Welcome back to another episode of What's Up, Prof. Hello, Walter.
Hi, Martin.
Today we're going to discuss a subject that's always murky water.
Yes, and the subject won't go away very quickly. And the so-called brilliant fact checkers won't go away either.
No. So we're stuck with this. We need guidance. Let's ask the Lord to help us in this discussion. Our Heavenly Father, we are coming to you in prayer and we ask that you please, please help us in this discussion. Guide our minds and help us with the Holy Spirit to discern the right things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, there's a question mark behind the title, Pandemic of the Unvaccinated. Now, Martin, from the very beginning, when this pandemic struck, we were very cautious and first wanted to see, what is this all about?
Mm-hmm.
And I think one shouldn't just jump onto a bandwagon and decide yay or nay. One must look at the facts. And the more we looked at the facts and the more time progressed, we saw that there was something amiss.
Mm.
At least ideologically, there was something amiss. And then later, scientifically, there was something amiss. And then later, in terms of how they deal with it and how they get rid of very prominent voices, how they marginalize people, then you really know there's something amiss, because that sounds inquisitorial.
Absolutely the same. If you don't agree with us, you're a heretic.
You
have to be sorted out.
That can only be a Jesuit mindset. Mm. And I don't know whether people have, you know, started realizing that I'm pretty fed up with them.
No.
But their day is coming.
Their day is coming.
They have been destructive for centuries.
And they're taking souls with them.
Yes. They're taking them to perdition.
And unfortunately, the majority.
And, you know, their biggest attack weapon was learning against learning. And when they started this learning against learning and started to introduce alternative science based on the so-called science, and then took over the schools and the universities, and then took over the media and the encyclopedias and the knowledge bases, then I'm afraid truth went out of the window. Because how can a lie, and someone who follows one who was a liar from the beginning and the truth is not in him, how can they establish truth? And many of the so-called things that they propagate derive from mythology, Greek philosophy, and have nothing to do with reality. The only source of reality is this one. And this has been so marginalized that it's become irrelevant in the learning against learning scenario. Mm-hmm. So good luck to those who follow Jesuit-inspired teachings. If they want to find truth amongst that quagmire, they will be looking in vain.
Yeah.
Back to the source.
Especially now, because a lot of things that are called sin in the Bible have some medical explanation these days.
Or a fancy phrase. You marginalize everything with a fancy phrase. So, pandemic of the unvaccinated. Here is an article from the 24th of November, Mail Online. Majority of COVID deaths are amongst vaccinated Americans for the first time. Now that 230 million have had at least two shots, an analysis of the official data found that 58% of COVID deaths in August were in people who were vaccinated or boosted. And if you look at the graphs over here, they speak for themselves. Unvaccinated, vaccinated, vaccinated status of COVID deaths. Now, when you go back to 2021, when very few people were actually vaccinated already, then it's easy to put a graph down like that, but even that would seem to be skewed because you're not taking into account who is vaccinated and who is not vaccinated in the full extent of a double-blind study over a period.
But in fact, if you take it on that statistic, then 23% is actually a very scary number.
Yes.
Because not many people were vaccinated by that.
But if you take this one over here, 42% on the unvaccinated and 58% amongst the vaccinated, well, now you have a basis because you have a record of who is vaccinated. So this is a very interesting development. This is development, if you compare it here, from 2021, where there's a lot of red, it's just because people weren't vaccinated at that stage. And by the way, Martin, so many things were categorized as COVID deaths when they were really something totally different. Everything was a COVID death when they started off. Everything.
That's true. And the thing is, and we will be getting into this quite in depth today.
Yes, it became so ridiculous that if you jumped out of a window, you died from COVID before you hit the ground.
But the problem is they advertise that the vaccine prohibits death.
That's what they did.
And that's a problem if you look at this graph.
So an analysis of the official data found that 58% of COVID deaths in August were in people who were vaccinated or boosted. But it is also true that as COVID has mutated, the vaccines have become less effective with regular boosters required to top up immunity. Now, that has been an excuse from the beginning. Mm. So I'm not too impressed by it. Mm. I don't know about you. It comes as the White House offers discounts on groceries to Americans who get the new bivalent COVID booster in a desperate bid to boost uptake of the vaccine. Now, why do they want to boost it so if the unvaccinated are doing better?
It just shows you how they are trying to manipulate your mind. They're telling you that if you see everything is okay now, it's actually not. You have to take it because it's still very bad.
It's very bad.
And that you can still, it's much better for you if you take the vaccine. You won't get as sick, you won't die, and all of this. How do you put this against the statistics?
Martin, we have to look at this holistically because you can play games with these numbers. You know, when reality doesn't coincide with the norms that are being put out there in the media, well, then you get all kinds of speculations. So let's have a look at this redacted YouTube channel and see what we have there.
All of these California universities and colleges. The list is pretty endless there. Kentucky, Louisiana, Johns Hopkins. Oh, man. Massachusetts, Amherst College, Bentley College, Bay Path, Colorado, Fort Lewis, University of Colorado at Boulder. I mean, and that was just up through, now we can go N through Z. Oregon, Nebraska, New Hampshire, Pennsylvania, New Jersey. Look at all these. Bucknell, Cabrini, Carnegie Mellon University.
When most workplaces have now dropped a vaccine mandate, why on a population of mostly healthy young people
would this
continue to be in place?
That suggestion set a people's heads exploding from outrage. A lot of conservatives who posted about how much they hate Dr. Fauci, that they'd rather get COVID than ever test again. Let me explain something to you as somebody who's just come off it again. And not a nice light, because, you know, I came off a tough-ass COVID, okay? You don't want to get this. It's not funny.
No.
You don't want this. This will kill you. What's the matter with you people?
Well, the reason it didn't kill you is because you've been boosted.
Yes.
Okay? If you're not boosted, you could die. That's the point. People write on Twitter or someplace, you see, Whoopi got it, and she has the vaccinations. Yeah, but Whoopi's sitting there. She's not in the casket, thank you.
You know, I have to stay well so I don't hurt anybody else. This is how we take care of each other. I don't understand how a suggestion for making your life perhaps better for the holidays made people lazy.
Dr. Fauci spent last summer campaigning, in effect, to close our schools down. He scared parents with talk about how dangerous COVID was to kids and how they were spreading the disease. As you said in your introduction, Laura, we know now that that's not true, that in fact kids are very inefficient spreaders of the disease. Sweden kept their schools open all year long. He's still arguing for schools to restrict children in schools with masks. Masks are, they harm the development of children. And if they're not necessary to control the spread of the disease, why should we ask our children to pay that harm?
Vaccination in people previously infected significantly boosts the immune response. Vaccines, actually, at least with regard to SARS-CoV-2, can do better than nature.
He's ignored the data on this. There was a fantastic study out of the Cleveland Clinic that found the same thing, that the people who had recovered from COVID were actually quite well protected against severe disease and reinfection. And now we say, okay, that natural immunity doesn't count for anything. You don't have the vaccine, so you can't go to a restaurant or to a, you know, to a ball game or something. I mean, it just, it makes no sense. It's bad for public health, and it is contrary to the science. I don't really, again, I'm at a loss for words to explain how you can continue to ignore the vast amount of evidence on this and then make policy around that. It's just a mistake.
It's interesting because you're going to start seeing a lot of these mandates being rolled back as study after study is showing that the efficacy and protection of the initial vaccine series, whether it was the mRNA or even the Johnson & Johnson, at this point during the pandemic, the efficacy is about zero in terms of protecting against illness, let alone transmission. And that was the whole impetus behind some of these vaccine mandates early on. You had drug companies reporting that they knocked off transmission. The transmission of the virus turned to zero. But here we are, and after about 20 weeks after vaccination, there is no ability to decrease transmission. And so any vaccine mandate in place should be wholly repealed at this time.
Almost everyone who will die from COVID this year will not be up to date on their shots. We've made the vaccines free and available. We've made the tests free and available. Please use them. Use them. And encourage your friends and loved ones and neighbors to use them as well.
Martin, if you look at those, then you have two messages going out into the world.
And they can't meet each other, these two messages.
They cannot meet because all the studies show zero efficacy in preventing transmission. And the trumpet sound from the leadership and the Faucis of this world says exactly the opposite. And, I mean, Whoopi Goldberg was very interesting. Let's not say too much about what she said, but if she hadn't been boosted, she wouldn't have been survived. Now, I wasn't vaccinated, nor was I boosted, because I cannot be boosted when I'm not vaccinated. I had it, and I got over it. But, Martin, I'm still here.
But you know how easy it would have been if you were vaccinated.
I wouldn't know because I didn't go that route. But the point of the matter is, even if I had gone that route, would I have protected you by my action? What does the evidence say? The evidence says
no. Can you still get it when you're vaccinated?
Yes. Can you still transmit it?
Can you still die?
Martin, the side effects, the official side effects, are so horrendous when you read what is happening in the world, and they are being totally ignored.
Exactly.
Totally.
But you see, that you've got, we've seen now, you've got two messages, but actually you've got two mentalities as well.
That is the point. Now, where are these mentalities heading to? Now, Martin, if you are vaccinated, I'm not going to condemn you.
No.
It's not in my nature to even want to condemn you. I might be concerned for you, but I won't condemn you if you are vaccinated. But the opposite is not true.
No.
If you are vaccinated, then you are more likely, let's put it that way, to condemn someone who is not, because who wants to jump into hot water all by themselves?
That's the problem. So they mostly have to defend their choice.
Yes.
And that excuse that we have, that I have to take it to protect you, even though it's been disproven over and over.
All right. So if you have science, mm-hmm. then you should have a scientific debate, right? And if data comes out, it should be looked at objectively, but it's not permitted. Mm-hmm. Because the facts checkers, who have zero knowledge of what they're talking about mostly, because they are working for Google as whatever, button pushers, have no medical training whatsoever. They are more knowledgeable on the subject than all of these scientists put together, apparently.
Apparently, and they also have more authority.
Mm.
Because they'll use that to, for instance, say that a Stanford professor or a Harvard or even a John Hopkins professor is talking nonsense.
Correct. Now, who gave them that authority?
The Jesuits.
You know, the Pharisees constantly ask Jesus, who gave you this authority? Well, I would like to ask these facts checkers, who gave you the authority? The one who put you in your job.
Exactly.
In the media. And who's that?
Well,
who controls it?
Comes back to the top.
We don't have to go further because we can just follow how they go to one source continuously.
The road that leads to...
Well, let's look at some of these professors. Stanford professor who challenged lockdowns and scientific clerisy declares academic freedom is dead. He says academic freedom is dead after his life became a living hell for challenging coronavirus lockdown orders and the scientific clerisy during the pandemic. He came under fire during the pandemic after co-authoring the Great Barrington Declaration. Now, was he alone?
No. All right. It's not obscure people.
He was joined by Harvard professor of medicine, Dr. Martin Koldorf, and Oxford professor, Dr. Sunetra Gupta, in co-authoring the document. Now, all of those doctors have been marginalized.
Yeah. Probably all of their lives have been made a living hell, like his.
So when you take a position that is at odds with the scientific clerisy, your life becomes a living hell, he said at the conference. You face a deeply hostile work environment. But Acharya said that soon after the Great Barrington Declaration gained widespread attention, he received death threats, hate mail, questions on where he receives funding, which he noted, most of my money has come from the NIH. For most of my life. So you have someone like Tony Fauci who says, unironically, that if you question me, you're not simply questioning a man, you're questioning science itself. I wonder what else should be questioned, Martin, that comes out of these occult environments. We can go all the way back to all of these Masonically influenced scientists over the years, and these heavily funded people from certain quarters. That is an exercise of raw power where he places himself effectively as the Pope of science rather than a genuine desire to learn the truth. I think the man has got a valid point here.
I don't think he realizes how on point he is, because Fauci and the Pope and all of these, because if we take it further, this is just the vaccine and health issue.
All right. We've shown many videos where Fauci trumpets his Jesuit connections, and the Pope is a Jesuit. Mm. Now, isn't it amazing how knowledgeable the Pope is? He knows everything.
Everything, from climate change to medical.
To the fact that the Bible is mythological, yeah, and that the creation account is mythological, and that Pachamama is going to help him out of his crisis.
Mm? No.
Yes, and brother son, not talk about him.
All of these other join in it because Fauci is part of the same denomination, religion, whatever you want to talk, I call it.
This is a conspiracy. These people are conspiracists, Martin. Mm. We should really start talking against these conspiracies in high places. All right, let's have a look at the next clip, Martin, and then we'll talk about it.
Dr. Hammadi, there are still some schools that are forcing students to get the COVID vaccine, like Harvard University. The website states that in order to register for spring term, students have to be compliant with all vax requirements. This includes the annual flu shot, as well as the bivalent Omicron-specific COVID-19 booster. Again, Dr. Hammadi, I mean, this is forcing a shot on students that are completely healthy and have an infinitesimally small chance of dying from this virus. Don't understand this, considering you can spread it with the vaccine anyway, right? I mean, you can spread the virus even if you're vaccinated.
Exactly, Laura, and that's the problem, is when the vaccines first came out, we were told repeatedly by the drug companies, by the White House, by so many others, that this will prevent you from getting infected and spreading it. We know that is no longer true. It was never true, but now, after so many months and years of experience now, we know that's absolutely false. So what is the purpose of forcing people who are perfectly healthy, who are in some of the lowest risk strata, to take something which we know also could have side effects? Every medical decision is a risk-benefit ratio, and when you have minimal to zero benefit, but you have some risk, no matter how much that is, that risk-benefit ratio may not work out. And so it's frankly, I think, unethical, because it's coercive, and you're forcing people to take something that puts them at risk with minimal benefit, not only to themselves, but even to the people around them, given what we now know about the vaccines. On top of that, we have, as Dr. McCary was just pointing out, very little data, especially regarding this bivalent Omicron booster shot. We have antibody production data. We don't have data on anything related to mortality, long COVID, serious infections or hospitalizations. And for children, we have actually zero data. They're just referencing adult data.
Well, Biden's COVID czar, his name is Ashish Jha, this afternoon, he said that he thinks this is God's will for all of us to get the COVID shot. It's God's will. That's why you were given these two arms. Listen.
I really believe this is why God gave us two arms, one for the flu shot and the other one for the COVID shot.
And I was like, wait a second, is this old? Like this press conference? No. This is today. This is him today saying this about getting boosted and getting the vaccine. Dr. Fauci, watch.
And vaccinated and unboosted versus vaccinated plus boosted. That doesn't mean you shouldn't get boosted, but the real danger is in the people who have not been vaccinated. So that's where we expect, if we're going to see a problem this winter, it's going to
be among those people.
Immunization Agenda 2030, impact goal indicators and targets, lays out that by 2030, there will be 500 new vaccines introduced. And under the Immunization Agenda 2030, which is part of One Health, no man, woman, or child will have an exemption.
So that's implementing the Immunization Agenda 2030. You can read all about it right on the World Health Organization's website.
Well, Martin, let me put it this way. We don't even have to discuss what these people were saying, because it's so ridiculous. God gave you two arms so that you can be shot in the arm.
I think he also made a joke and said, yeah, the vaccine on this one and the booster on this one.
Anyway, Martin, the science is not even clear, because viruses have not been isolated, as we know. We've talked about that. The whole question on germ theory, which comes from the time of Pasteur, is not settled science at all. And whether we want to believe all of these things or not is another question entirely. And we've talked about all of those things. My question to you is, do you think when Fauci finally retires, which he's doing now, things will get better, or will they stay exactly the same?
No, he just put the foundation down.
So they want to take the heat off him and get someone else in there to continue the same story. So it's not about vaccines. It's about an agenda.
Agenda. What did you see there? The agenda for 2030 on vaccines on the World Health Organization's website says there will be 500 new vaccines and nobody will be excluded. That's on the, and then we will progress to there. But there's a treaty that they want to implement.
Yes, there's a treaty. So let's look at the next one.
It sounds like a movie, but of course it's not. It's all true. It's not a conspiracy theory at all. We learned this week that researchers at Boston University produced a new strain of COVID that is 80% deadlier than before. They did it with your tax dollars. So the researchers combined the spike protein from Omicron to the original Wuhan strain, which produced a new strain of COVID that is 80% deadly.
Dr. Fauci, do you still support funding of the NIH funding of the lab in Wuhan?
Senator Paul, with all due respect, you are entirely and completely incorrect. that the NIH has not ever and does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute
of Virology. Do they fund Dr. Barrick?
We do not fund...
Do you fund Dr. Barrick's gain-of-function research?
Dr. Barrick does not doing gain-of-function research, and if it is, it's according to the guidelines, and it is being conducted in North Carolina.
So the NIH then admitted that, oh, yes, they did indeed fund that gain-of-function research, and yes, that back under the Obama administration, Fauci had directed funds from the NIH to gain-of-function research in North Carolina. And it was later moved to the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And oh yes, according to the evidence, the EcoHealth Alliance in New York City that received funding from Fauci was working with the Wuhan lab.
Dr. Fauci, knowing that it is a crime to lie to Congress, do you wish to retract your statement of May 11th where you claimed that the NIH never funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan?
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement. This paper that you are referring to was judged by qualified staff up and down the chain as not being gain of function. So what was? Let me finish.
You take an animal virus and you increase its transmissibility to humans.
Right.
You're saying that's not gain of function?
Yeah, that is correct. And Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about, quite frankly. And I want to say that officially. You do not know what you are talking about.
Right on Boston University's website. You can go to Boston University's website right now and read all about the funding from the NIH, funding of the Boston University led by Dr. Fauci. Who else was funding Boston University on this research? That's it.
Mr. President, dear colleagues, Ursula von der Leyen must immediately and unconditionally resign from her position as president of the European Commission due to the fact that her actions are currently criminally investigated by the European Public Prosecutor's Office. EPPO just announced a few days ago that it's investigating the way the contracts were signed between the European Commission and the producers of vaccines. And this is what the Court of Auditors just stated in the report released a few days ago, and I quote, "The Commission has signed, up to November 2021, 71 billion euros worth of contracts on behalf of the member states to purchase up to 4.6 billion COVID-19 vaccine doses. That means that she purchased 10 doses of vaccines for every EU citizen based on contracts that were never released to the public. This is how the contracts that she signed with these pharmaceutical companies were released to the public. How is this possible in a European Union that is called to be transparent with the way it's using people's money? So I'm asking again and calling again for immediate and unconditional resignation. Thank you.
Well, Martin, who's lying?
Well, what is that thing that in the oath of the Jesuits?
The ends justify the means.
So even if it is a lie, and if you say it isn't a lie, it still can be a lie because you can lie. Because in it, it says if it justifies the means, you're allowed to lie, kill, or anything else.
Well, Fauci obviously knows because he is part of that power structure. Rand Paul knows nothing, even though he is a medical doctor.
But like you, there's an interesting thing that Fauci said. Up and down that ladder. Rand Paul is not up on the ladder. So he's not in the know, probably.
Well, Martin, what if I throw a spanner in the works and say, what if this is a political game as well, and maybe they're all on the ladder and playing a game?
That's not impossible, because...
Are they being conspiratorial?
No, but, you know, it's conspiratorial, but just think of it logically. We've mentioned this over and over. It's almost 3 years ago. That we started with WhatsApp Prof. We discussed the social media companies that came in front of the Senate the whole time. And what happened to any of those
people? Nothing.
Nothing. You had Rand Paul or especially Jim Jordan grill them continuously. I mean, here we just saw Rand Paul with Fauci. Nothing has ever happened.
When you see all of these young guys obviously being grilled and being exposed as lying or being exposed as being deceptive, why can they remain so calm? Mm. If it were you or I in that position, we'd be sweating bullets, right? Mm-hmm. Not these guys. Why not? Because they know the outcome already.
Yeah.
And who told them the outcome? The one who controls them.
Exactly.
So this is all training. Do you know that Jesuit training includes the perendere cadaver, yeah, to be like a corpse, to just carry on and don't be phased at all?
And that's a problem, like you mentioned earlier. We assume that they're all part of the same thing because they go to the universities that are Jesuit trained.
So bottom line, as far as I can assess the matter, is the science doesn't matter. Because no matter what you find in the science, if it doesn't agree with the narrative, then it is discarded.
What do you say about the European Union, Ursula, that purchased more than 10 doses per European citizen?
And signed all of these contracts on the basis of what? On the basis of settled science? And obviously not.
And is something going to happen to her?
No, nothing. So here's an article in Global Research, and it says, vaccine narrative collapses as Harvard study shows jab more dangerous than COVID. Is this going to have an impact, even if it was a Harvard study?
This was 14 September. Everything that we've seen now about Fauci and Biden was now, this week, in the end of November.
Yes.
So did they didn't even want to look at these studies?
They're not even going to look at it. It hasn't been proven in a clinical trial because we don't have time to do a clinical trial, because we need to get the vaccines out now, because we have such a situation throughout the world, and certainly in the United States. We're having 400 deaths per day and up to 5,000 hospitalizations a day, NIAID, Dr. Fauci explained in an interview. But you throw those figures into the mix, but that number of people die anyway, because death is part of the equation of this planet.
And hospitalizations as well.
And if you put that label onto every death, you can throw around with numbers as you please. So a new study conducted by scientists from Harvard and Johns Hopkins, currently in preprint, reveals that the COVID-19 vaccines were up to 98 times worse than the virus itself. Martin, we should actually say that settles the matter.
Exactly.
But it doesn't settle the matter, because ignore it.
There's an agenda.
Using CDC and sponsor-reported adverse event data, we find that booster mandates may cause a net expected harm per COVID-19 hospitalization prevented in previously uninfected young adults. We anticipate 18 to 98 serious adverse events, including 1.7 to 3 booster-associated myocarditis cases in males, 1,373 to 3,234 cases of grade greater than 3 reactogenicity were interferes with daily activities. Now, what myocarditis? We've had prominent doctors sidelined because they make statements based on facts. So facts are not part of the equation.
No. As soon as you put facts out there, they say, oh, no, this is, you're an enemy of humanity because you don't love your neighbor.
So if we just look at myocarditis and you look at what's happening on the sports field, we've showed that many, many times. How is it that you can just ignore these things? But let's look at this clip.
And Dr. Marty McCarry was virtually alone in the medical community when he warned about the risks of this. He warned for months. In March, he wrote to the CDC and said, you've got a duty to, quote, rigorously study the long-term effects of vaccine-induced myocarditis. Dr. McCarry is a professor at Johns Hopkins and joins us tonight. Doctor, thanks so much for coming on and for sounding the call early. Is the idea going to be this is totally normal, it's always been this way?
Well, they famously downplayed it. The CDC director last year said if we vaccinate 1 million children, there might be 30 or 40 cases of mild myocarditis. And they said if you get myocarditis from COVID, that's worse or happens at a higher rate. But that's not true. The studies have come out. Europe reacted by banning the Moderna vaccine altogether in young people in many parts of Europe, and everybody under 30, and in other places, everybody under 40. The tragedy that we're now learning that there's significant heart damage, 31% of people having physical activity restrictions. The Seattle study, that 63% of children after myocarditis had evidence of heart swelling months down the road on MRI. So we were playing with fire. We didn't know what we were dealing with. They undercounted the complication rate, making the vaccine look safer than it really was, overcounting cases in young people and hospitalizations, making the COVID infection look more dangerous than it really was. And the tragedy is that we could have saved children from myocarditis. We could have protected this nation's children from myocarditis.
So, Martin, this whole situation is extremely frustrating because nobody even cares to listen because they have an agenda. And if you say they have an agenda, you're a conspiracist. Now, we're not only talking about myocarditis, like here, the Deutsche Wirtschaftsnachrichten, Japan, sudden massive rise in heart attacks recorded, but they will not link it to the vaccines. Not never.
Even. Forget it.
Bloomberg attributes the spike in heart attacks to the weather. You see, it happens sometimes months down the line. So, what was it then? The weather. But Martin, the weather hasn't changed. That's a myth. Because it's a lie.
Now they're going, if it's the weather, now you've got a double whammy. You can actually say, oh, it's climate change's fault.
Yes, and eventually it'll be your non-compliance that is changing the weather.
I wonder if
you want to. You have to stop breathing.
I wonder, do you think there's a correlation about people that don't want to take the vaccine and people that are climate skeptics?
Probably a very good correlation. You know, I don't even want to read this, but they blame the weather for the sharp rise in heart attacks this year. And I guess that was the case also with all those sports stars. The weather was the problem. Whether it was cold or hot was irrelevant. It was the weather's problem. And it's not only heart disease. It's vascular disease, blood disorders, the clots that they find and the type of clots that they find in post-mortem studies. All of these things never existed before the vaccine. And you cannot blame it on COVID because the unvaccinated don't have the problem. But nobody gets it, right?
Nobody.
So if there is an agenda, if it is about control, then it won't go away. And you will go from mandates to passport controls to health documents that you have to have. If you go to a hospital today for a treatment, one of the first questions that they ask you is, are you vaccinated? Mm. So it hasn't gone away.
No, it's actually
gotten worse.
Much worse.
So at the recent G20, Biden was very upbeat about passport and health mandates. Let's have a look.
Emerging from the Indonesia confab, Biden, along with the rest of the group of 20 nations, released a declaration supporting the development of digital health certificates, otherwise known as vaccine passports. Now, you may recall that the angle warned about this eventuality back in the spring of 2020.
Bill Gates, the Gates Foundation, are in favor of developing digital certificates that would certify that individuals, American citizens, have an immunity to this virus and potentially other viruses going forward to then facilitate travel and work and so forth.
I'm very concerned about the slippery slope in terms of continuing encroachments on personal liberty.
But what if you aren't shot up with whatever they claim is necessary at any given time? Well, tough luck. Stay home. because you're in a WHO-mandated lockdown. No travel for you. Now, just today in Beijing, they announced that they were shutting businesses and schools in hard-hit districts and tightening rules for entering the city as infections ticked higher. That's in Beijing. Now, to give you some perspective, only 3 people in a city of nearly 22 million have died from COVID since Saturday. So they're tightening their controls in their central Henan province, in Chongqing in the southwest as well.
Progressively, a lot of people would like to see there are two orders in this world. This is a huge mistake, even for both the US and China. We need a single global order.
What we will see is that everything will be integrated into a ecosystem driven by big data and driven particularly by close cooperation also of governments with business, civil society. And this revolution will come at a breathtaking speed. It will be like a tsunami.
Let's have a digital health certificate acknowledged by WHO if you have been vaccinated or tested properly, then you can move around. So for the next pandemic, instead of stopping the movement of the people 100%, you can still provide some movement of the people.
Of course, if we look at all the challenges, we can speak about the multi-crisis. An economic, a political, a social, an ecological, an institutional crisis. But actually, what we have to confront is a deep, systemic, and structural restructuring of our world. And this will take some time. And the world will look differently after we have gone through this transition process. Politically, the driving forces for this political transformation, of course, is the transition into a multipolar world, which has a tendency to make our world much more fragmented. And for these reasons, events like this one, the G20, and so on, are the very important connectors to avoid a too great segmentation.
It's a transition, a transition, a transition. Remember that from session two.
Less fertilizer is coming out of Russia, and this may hasten transitions that would have been in the interest of farmers to make eventually anyway.
Well, we're in a transition, and it feels unique because it is unique.
I'm not saying transitions are easy, and I'm not saying they're very fast.
The solution is to move as fast as possible away from fossil fuels.
We're working through an energy transition. We have to take some time to get off of oil and gas. We recognize this.
It's often said that you should never allow a good crisis to go to waste.
Never let a crisis go to waste.
Well, it's just more of the same rhetoric. And Klaus Schwab is obviously advocating fascism. Because he says that the companies and the industry will have to work very closely with government. And that is exactly what fascism is all about, as we have explained many, many times. That's a Jesuit agenda. They've stated it quite openly. So we're running on a Jesuit agenda on a short time frame fuse.
Mm-hmm. So I have a question. What about the people that say this is not happening? That there's no transition? That there's no agenda?
Well, I suggest they become ostriches and move to Otsuan.
Because how many people do you actually think believe that what we've been propagating the whole time?
Very few of the leadership, because they don't have to believe it, they know it.
How much more can we show videos and everything to get people to wake up?
There are some people who will never wake up because they are in a deep snore state.
I don't think it's even necessary to show any more videos because...
Actually, Martin, we are on a very short time frame, right? And it is all about control and coercion, which they say they want to avoid but don't. Now, the Bible tells us that there will be a time of trouble such as never was. The spirit of prophecy tells us that Satan will bring this world into a state of turmoil and that the last events will be rapid ones. They're all saying they're doing this very rapidly and that it will be very painful. I have news for them. The pain that comes after their implementation will be greater than the pain that they can induce by their implementation because plagues are going to fall on their heads.
We just have to keep our faith and ride it through.
Now, if you go back into history and you see how tyrants and these regimes used to enforce their dictates, or if you go to the Middle Ages, then you had this information gathering. Today you have, of course, the CIA, and you have the FBI, and you have MI5, and you have the KGB, and you have all of these intelligence gathering institutions. And the greatest one of them all comes out of the Vatican, and they're all subject to that one without anyone knowing it, as whistleblowers that we showed in the past have already proven in many, many cases. But you have to have total control over the populace. And in the Middle Ages, if you didn't comply, then the inquisitors would arrive at your door. The same happened in Russia. The KGB would arrive at your door. The same happened in fascist regimes. The military would arrive, or the special military forces would arrive at your door, and you would not be seen again, right?
That's it.
And this is what this is all about, surveillance. And you had your spy network, and the best spy network is the population itself. Mm-hmm. Now, Herod did it. Herod was a great one in enforcing what he wanted to do. And he did it when he wanted to destroy Jesus, for example. So today, it seems as if the governments of the world are doing the same things. Now, it's interesting that the very governments that are in the forefront of this, their leaders have admitted in the past that they have a religion, but it's not Christianity. It is a religion that is practiced in secret societies. We've shown those clips. We don't have to repeat them. But is this conspiratorial, or is this now just in the realm of fact?
Absolutely fact. It cannot... Well, you have to be really ignorant if you want to just say sorry.
All right. Let's have a look at this clip as to what's happening in the Western world.
Our Secret Service is launching an initiative to help us identify people who may have been radicalized.
Know the Signs details dozens of indicators that a friend or family member could be planning a terror attack. As Adam Hollingworth reports, the move comes as our spy chiefs identify a new and worrying type of terrorism.
Time was when the intelligence services were never seen, never heard. But now they're loudly proclaiming your country needs you to keep an eye on those you know, and if necessary, dob them in.
Recognising a potential warning sign and then alerting NZSAS or police could be the vital piece in the puzzle that ultimately saves lives.
To that end, they're publishing a guide called Know the Signs to help us all identify potential terrorists in our midst.
To pay attention if they are, and to be alert so that if they see or hear about something that seems off, that worries them and concerns them.
The SIS has listed around 50 signs, from obvious ones, like writing on a weapon, as happened in Christchurch, to
a person who is really developing an us versus them worldview.
Authorities say they're usually closely monitoring 40 to 50 potential terrorists. These people used to be motivated by their white identity or by their faith. But in the past 6 months, a third group has emerged, those motivated by politics.
And so it could be the COVID measures that the government took, and so it could be the COVID measures that the government took, or it could be other policies that are interpreted as infringing on rights. And it's a what I sometimes describe as a kind of hot mess of ideologies and beliefs, fueled by conspiracy theories,
The launch of the initiative Know the Signs is an indicator that the security services know that they can't do it alone. They need the help of the public.
The tools used to challenge the statehood of others are hidden and more complex. Traditional combat, espionage, and the threat of nuclear weapons are now accompanied by cyber attacks, prolific disinformation, and manipulation of whole communities and societies. Now, as leaders, we have never treated the weapons of old in the same way as those that have emerged. And that's understandable. After all, a bullet takes a life. A bomb takes out a whole village. A lie online or from a podium does not. But what if that lie, told repeatedly and across many platforms, prompts, inspires, or motivates others to take up arms, to threaten the security of others, to turn a blind eye to atrocities, or worse, to become complicit in them? What then? This is no longer a hypothetical. The weapons of war have changed. They are upon us and require the same level of action and activity that we put into the weapons of old. We recognise the threats that the old weapons created. We came together as communities to minimise these threats. We created international rules, norms, and expectations. We never saw that as a threat to our individual liberties. Rather, it was a preservation of them. The same must apply now as we take on these new challenges.
Taking global health to a new level means we need a new global agreement or global accord based on a shared vision. When we can only face shared threats with a shared response, based on a shared commitment to solidarity and equity. That's what the pandemic accord or pandemic agreement that countries are now negotiating is all about, an agreement between the nations of the world to work together, not in competition with each other, to prepare for and respond to epidemics and pandemics. This accord or agreement is being negotiated by countries, for countries, and will be adapted by and implemented by countries in accordance with their own national laws.
Now, Martin, the Bible says that the whole world will be forced in a particular direction, right? And that you will have no excuse, not even according to your status in society, that you will have to bow down to the ideology of the beast. And they wandered after the beast. So we have to look in the world for a coordinated effort to go in a particular direction. And the whole world together, because everyone, rich, poor, every nation, tribe, tongue, people, everybody will be brushed with the same brush. Do we see such a movement in the world?
There's not only one. There's actually two. There's the health side and the climate side.
Yes, but the right arm is connected to the body.
So actually those two are connected.
Yes, and you have all the issues involved. Now, is the Vatican involved on every level?
Every level.
All right. Is it Jesuits that have developed the modern medical so-called miracle?
Yes.
Is it them? Mm-hmm. Who controls all these pharmaceutical companies? Isn't it through their Knights of Malta affiliates that they control it all?
Yes.
So, Martin, is there this movement to honor the beast that comes up out of the bottomless pit that makes war against the Bible?
Yes, the wandering is happening.
The Pope, under the cloak of acceptance of the Bible, Isn't he using his position to negate every precept in the Bible?
Exactly.
Isn't he putting it into the realms of mythology?
Mm-hmm. He says the creation is a mythology.
Everything is a mythology. So we have a massive movement in the world going in a direction. Are people fed up with it?
Yeah. There are some people, but not the majority.
Is it going to help?
No.
No. So let's...
No, because then you see you've got the passports coming in. You've got the mandates coming in. So they've already got everything in order to sort out those that don't.
So if you see this massive movement, coordinated movement, to get people to comply to whatever their little agenda is, whether it is in the health issue, whether it is in the climate issue, or whether it is in the religious issue, because that's what we're going to talk about next, right?
Yeah.
About this massive movement that is coming, where people will be forced in a particular direction and you will have to comply even in terms of your doctrine. So the Guardian reports that there are massive outbreaks of protests in China. And hundreds of workers joined protests at Foxconn, huge iPhone plant in China. And some men were smashing surveillance cameras and windows. Footage uploaded on social media showed. And much of it has to do with the COVID, the ultra-harsh COVID rules, as well as inept handling of the situation by the world's largest contract manufacturers. Because there's a certain rigidity. We're not going to move, and the people are fed up. Now, I saw videos of the populace attacking the police, for example, with long poles, beating them at their own game, even though they have all of the gear on and what have you. There is a time of trouble coming such as never was. And the more people resist, the more draconian the rules will have to become.
Did we have a foretaste in New Zealand and in Australia?
Yes.
And France?
So all we're trying to do with all of this, Martin, is to show that the draconian measures that the Bible predicts are about to unfold. Mm. There's no other way. And what you need is you need chaos in order to achieve that. So let's have a look at some of the excitement in the world in this regard.
The Zhengzhou factory employs around 200,000 people. Earlier today, workers were seen smashing surveillance cameras, the windows, even confronting health workers in hazmat suits. Foxconn has issued a statement saying it has fulfilled its payment contracts. The company also said that the reports of infected staff workers being forced to share space with other factory workers are untrue. What do the Chinese authorities have to say on this? The matter came up during the daily briefing of the Chinese Foreign Ministry. A spokesperson said he was not aware of any such protest. You know, a lot of what these workers are alleging is contrary to China's zero COVID policy. The country claims to be hell-bent on defeating COVID-19, no matter what cost it comes at. There is some scary news coming in from China. The country is reporting a record number of COVID-19 cases. By record, I mean the highest since the start of the pandemic. Like I said, it's scary. China, for that matter, has been pushing its mega cities into lockdowns that have gone on for months now. In January this year, people living in the city of Xi'an were forced out of their homes at midnight and moved to quarantine facilities. By April, Shanghai was closed for two long months. 25 million residents had to stay at home. This is what Beijing looks like right now. It's a cauldron of dread and fatigue. The people of China have not stepped out of the country since the outbreak in Wuhan. As I speak, the borders are all but shut. There are incessant lockdowns, quarantines. Despite all the gung-ho, the outbreaks continue, as do the COVID-19 deaths. As for the rest of us, we must ask ourselves what the resurgence of the infections in China actually means for the world outside. Is this 2020 all over again?
Governments are denying that there is an issue at all. They weren't aware of it, right? Does it change their agenda?
No.
And now people are hopeful that if the regimes could change, if the other party could come to power, things would be different, right? Trump would never have allowed these things to happen.
No, not according to...
Not according to them. Now, it is very debatable whether Trump will be able to stand in the next election. But it doesn't really matter whether it's him or someone else. The agenda is not going to change. So let's just see what his position was, just to make a point.
Yes.
And yeah, people have died under COVID this year, by the way, under Joe Biden. Right. Than under you, and more people took the vaccine this year. So people are questioning how.
Well, no, the vaccine worked, but some people aren't taking it. The ones that get very sick and go to the hospital are the ones that don't take the vaccine. But it's still their choice. And if you take the vaccine, you're protected. Look, the results of the vaccine are very good. And if you do get it, it's a very minor form. People aren't dying when they take the vaccine.
Well, I got the Pfizer, and I would have been very happy with any of them. I thought a very bad statement was when they did a pause on Johnson & Johnson. I think that frightened people. That was a bad thing to do. At that time, when they did the pause, they had six people that may have had some difficulty out of millions that received it. But I think the pause was a very bad thing to do.
It works incredibly well, 95%, maybe even more than that. It works incredibly well. And I would recommend it to a lot of people that don't want to get it, and a lot of those people voted for me, frankly. But, you know, again, we have our freedoms, and we have to live by that, and I agree with that also. But it's a great vaccine, it's a safe vaccine, and it's something that works.
I recommend you take it, but I also believe in your freedoms 100%.
When you have the vaccine, people that do, and it's a very small number, relatively, but people that do get it get better much quicker. And it's a very important thing to know. They don't get nearly as sick, and they get better. Lindsey Graham's an example. He said, if I didn't have this vaccine, I would have died.
And you know what? I believe totally in your freedoms. I do. Bree, you got to do what you have to do. But I recommend take the vaccines. I did it. It's good. Take the vaccines. But you got, no, that's okay. That's all right. You got your freedoms. But I happen to take the vaccine.
The vaccines do work, and they are effective. And here is my thing. I saved millions and millions of lives throughout the world. We could have had another Spanish flu.
You're playing right into their hands when you sort of like, oh, the vaccine. If you don't want to take it, you shouldn't be forced to take it. No mandates, but take credit because we saved tens of millions of lives. Take credit. Don't let them take that away from you.
Did you get the booster?
Yes.
I got it too. Okay, so...
So basically, what we are seeing is that nothing would change.
Nothing.
And the song that they are singing is the official song. But with the little side note that you have your freedom.
Mm. That's the part that...
Until I get into power.
Yes.
Then your freedom will be gone.
You know what? If the main agenda is to get the vaccine to everybody, you're still playing along perfectly.
All right. So, Martin, I come to the conclusion, and I don't know whether you will agree, but I come to the conclusion that it's really not about vaccines. It's about getting the entire world onto a common agenda. And once that has been achieved, the agenda points can change. They can move in conjunction or separately from each other, from the health issue to the climate issue to the religious issue. But once everybody is on board and singing the same tune, then we will have the implementation of what the Bible says is coming. I believe we are living in the last days. I believe there's no turning back. This is going to go from bad to worse. And the worse it gets, which they want, order up cow, the worse it gets, the more they will have justification for draconian measures.
Sure, sure.
And that is what the Bible says is going to happen. I can see it happening in the world. So let's not get too hung up about whether this is right or that is right. Let's look at the trend. Where's it going?
There's something behind all of this, and they've got an agenda.
And who are the role players? Just look at the role players. Exactly the ones that the Bible says will be involved, namely those that come out of the bottomless pit. Let's just talk about the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit, you read about it in Revelation chapter 11, right? The beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make open war against the Bible. Before that, the beast made war against the Bible, but not open war against the Bible. In other words, they would pretend to embrace the Bible, but put it in a foreign language or have it remain in a foreign language so that nobody could read it. When the Reformation opened up that Bible and the Bible came out, the Jesuits called it the poisonous asp. And they will have to take it by the tail. And they used the story of Moses when he threw down his staff. The time will come when they will grab it by the tail and destroy it, they said. And then they started making open warfare against the Bible. And that happened after the French Revolution.
Yeah.
They started making open warfare against the Bible. And after that time period, we've had the introduction of all of these new translations based on Alexandrian manuscripts. I know people get all riled up about that. But this is the fact of the matter. God gave the received text to the reformers, and that was called the poisonous asp. These modern ones are not called the poisonous asp by the role players, so I assume it is in harmony with their agenda. Now, this beast that arises out of the bottomless pit is the one that is controlled by a woman. She rides the beast. And the woman is Babylon, and she has all the attributes that we find in the papacy. Mm-hmm. She is a church, and she controls everything. Do we see it?
Yes.
Are the role players there? So who, in actual fact, is the spearhead of that which arose out of the French Revolution? Wasn't it the Jesuit order? Mm-hmm. Wasn't it the Voltaires and their anti-Bible philosophy and the Robespierres and all of these that were involved? And then the Jesuit order rose in power. It was first banned, supposedly, also received a mortal wound, a supposed one. And then it rose to power and made open warfare against the Word of God. Are the Jesuits still making open warfare against the Word of God?
Definitely.
Are they putting learning against learning? Yeah. Are they using their witchcraft, Hollywood, to manipulate impressionable minds?
Exactly. Pharmakeia.
So are they using the game world?
Mm-hmm.
Are they using the media?
Yes.
Are they using the religious systems of the world? All of it. And who's always at the center?
The Pope.
The beast out of the bottomless pit.
Yeah.
The beast out of the bottomless pit is nothing else but the resurrected papal order, spearheaded by the Jesuits. And the Jesuits are not Christian. They are Luciferian. And there is no doubt about it whatsoever. You can just study the secret history of the Jesuits and you will know that they are not for God but against God. They are serving a different agenda. And we are seeing this whole scenario play out. Health, right arm of the beast versus the right arm of the gospel. A true gospel versus a false gospel. A system of coercion versus a system of free will acceptance. We are in a war.
Yeah.
And we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of the air. May God be our strength in the time that we are living in. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as the world moves with supersonic speed towards the end goal, and that end goal is one that Lucifer has implemented in the world, help God's people to make firm decisions, to stand by them though the heavens fall, and may they eventually be relieved from their oppression and be able to stand on that sea of glass, free from all coercion for all eternity, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.